views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome and Happy New Year. You might be listening live here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM, KKNW. You might be listening live anywhere around the world on TransformationTalkRadio.com or after the fact on one of those 50-some-odd different places this ends up, including on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're joining us from today, you're going to be happy you did join us. And before we talk about who our guest is today and how we're talking about a different sort of topic, you know, change of pace, I'm going to say hello to the man behind the technology across the counter there, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny. And I would have known that had I, like, looked at Facebook this morning.
Oh, you've been busy driving and getting here. It's okay. There's other priorities.
Happy birthday, Benny.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. 42 young.
Yes. Yeah, you seem like a youngster to me.
A pup. Yeah. Manson Mitchell, that's what they dubbed me in the last hour.
Oh, yes.
I'll stick with that as much as I can get.
And I love the fact that you're willing to celebrate it yourself, because so many people are waiting for other people to give them permission.
Yeah.
But you should celebrate, and I'm so grateful you were born.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good little tear there. Yeah. That's really good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you have any fun plans?
The Seahawks have a pretty major, important playoff game tomorrow, so I'll probably be seeing that somewhere. Until then, just taking it easy today. So, you know, my son's mother is on the same day. Birthday is the same day as mine, too.
Oh, that's right.
So we've got some plans with the boys going out. Probably have some lunch and stuff like that. Just hang out, and we'll see where the day takes us.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
I'm really grateful about our guest today, because he's bringing something really important to the world. And the person I'm talking about is Vincent James. He, with his wife Joanne, he's the founder of the national nonprofit called Keep Music Alive. And he's also helped create two international music holidays, Teach Music Week and Kids Music Day. Each year they partner with hundreds of music schools, music retailers, and other musical organizations to offer free lessons to new students. And they also hold events which benefit and celebrate kids playing music. Kids Music Day has also enlisted the support of over a dozen celebrities as Kids Music Day ambassadors, including Julie Andrews, Richie Sambora, Nancy Wilson of Heart, Sarah McLachlan, and Todd Rundgren. Vincent and Joanne are also authors of the book series 88 Plus Ways Music Can Change Your Life, featuring over 100 inspirational music stories from around the world, including those of a number of celebrities. Their mission is to help more kids and adults reap the academic, social, and therapeutic benefits of playing music. And we're going to talk to Vincent about what those benefits are. He's also a recording artist and founder of lovesongs.com, and he's written dozens of custom songs for clients all around the world. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Vincent James. Hey, Vincent.
Well, hello, Christine. Thanks so much for having me on your show today.
Oh, it's nice to have you here. And I do have to disclose to people that you and I met, oh gosh, I think it was either at the TEDx or at Quantum Leap. I'm trying to remember which.
Yeah, I don't remember which was first either.
Yeah. And you were there behind the scenes at where I did my TEDx and TEDx Wilmington.
Yep.
And you were miking me up and you were a volunteer there. And it was so great. I was really grateful to have somebody who's zen and calm and pleasant, you know, helping me to calm down before I got out there on stage and got filmed and presented to 100 people. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Yeah, it can be a very, you know, intimidating situation knowing you're going out there on stage, you know, not only with the audience there live, but then, you know, you have these three cameras pointing at you.
Exactly. And I
and
know
it's going out into the world live, and you know, it's good to have people on the sidelines that could kind of bring the energy, you know, a little calmer, you know, up but calm.
Uh-huh. And I know that you've also, you know, been on the stage as a TEDx presenter. What was your TEDx topic?
My topic was three trends that are killing the future of music.
Oh, that's fascinating. And that's up there on TEDx Wilmington. So if you Google Vincent James and TEDx,
it'll come right up on YouTube.
Yeah. So I'm always fascinated by how a person gets to where they are in life. And I know that you play instruments and you can talk to us about that. But whatever inspired you to take this route of bringing music to kids?
Well, it's a very funny path that I traveled, Christine. So, I mean, for many years I did my own musical thing, you know, writing songs both for myself as an artist or for other people. Managing bands, booking shows, working in recording studios, doing all sorts of different musical things, but never really finding that any one of them was like my perfect place that I wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
And then one day I was listening to a teleseminar about how everyone has a book inside them, you know, that they need to write.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, I don't know what I'm going to write a book about, but what the heck, I'll listen. And it was actually on that call 4.5 years ago where it was like a bolt of lightning that hit me, you know, this idea of, you know, what about putting out a book of inspirational music stories about how music really impacted people's lives?
Uh-huh.
You know, sort of a chicken soup for the music lover's soul. And, you know, I got all excited, goosebumps, ran up to tell Joanne, you know, my wife, like, you know, I really want to do this. This is something I think, you know, I see and feel so much value in. And that was kind of where the whole journey began, you know, Keep Music Alive came along kind of with that and the music holidays after that. And,
mm-hmm.
and 4.5 years later, we are motoring along.
Yes. And you've had some really impressive endorsements from people like Julie Andrews, which is just mind-boggling to me that, you know, I remember when you announced that was one of your Kids Music Day ambassadors. And it's just so exciting that there are other people who are now supporting that cause that came from that moment where you had that bolt of lightning.
Right. It's kind of, it's amazing to me as well to look back and think back to that time when I had this, you know, little idea about this book and to see what it turned into.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still mind-boggled, you know, by the fact, you know, people like Julie Andrews have, you know, want to support what we're doing. You know, we get out of bed in the morning and pinch ourselves.
Right.
And a little side story with that, and that, you know, it literally took us 4 years of, you know, trying to connect with her people. You know, with celebrities, you're trying to connect with their agents, their managers, publicists, anyone on the inside circle.
Right, and they're pretty well insulated. The bigger celebrity, the more insulated they are.
Yeah, you know, right, and rightly so.
Uh-huh.
And then we were trying to connect originally to see if she would like to contribute a story in the first book, the
uh-huh.
first volume of 88 Ways Music. And we never received any response at all. You know, yes, no, maybe, we're here, mm-hmm. we're not here.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we kept reaching out over time with different things. And then, you know, 1 month we reached out, okay, you know, would Julie, you know, like to be a Kids Music Day ambassador, you know, as part of our third annual Kids Music Day, which was in October. And we got an email back pretty quickly, within like a week, that said, yes, Julie would love to be a Kids Music Day ambassador. And we practically fell out of our chair. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
So the lesson there is to, you know, no never means, you know, no just means not now.
Mm-hmm.
People don't respond for so many different reasons, and we all invent reasons in our head why people don't respond to the questions we ask.
Yeah.
But if they don't give a response, it doesn't mean no necessarily. It means, you know, try again.
Yeah.
Ask a different question. Ask next week.
And I often think that we need to keep asking. However, we also need to trust in the timing and the wisdom of when we do get that answer.
Because, oh, absolutely.
Because
things will come in the time when they're meant to be.
Exactly. So what kind of musical instruments do you play?
Well, I started out in the fourth grade on the trombone.
Uh-huh.
And played trombone all through, you know, senior year of high school, marching band, concert band, jazz band. And around sixth grade or so, my mom had always wanted to play the piano. And she had talked my dad into getting a piano into the house so that she could take lessons. And
uh-huh.
Boy, let me tell you, when I saw that piano, I was like, what is this? you know, and, you know, begged to, you know, can I have lessons, you know, and I started playing, taking classical piano lessons at that time, mm-hmm. and probably picked up the guitar a year or two later, mostly because back in the day, you know, if you were going to go out and play and, you know, try to play in a band with your friends, it was a lot cheaper to get a guitar than a keyboard.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Back in that day, and you didn't really want to have to lug around that real piano.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting. So we're going to go to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners some concrete benefits that music can have in our lives and also share some of the inspirational stories. We're going to go to a quick break, but stay tuned for more about the 88 ways that music can benefit you and Vincent James.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. We're talking to Vincent James, author of 88 Ways Music Can Change Your Life. So I know that there are a lot of inspirational stories in your books, but Vincent, are there particular documented benefits of playing and listening to music?
Oh, absolutely, Christine. I mean, there have been so many, you know, studies that have been done over the years, and we're still diving in, you know, learning and reading and, you know, trying to expand our own knowledge. But, you know, starting with kids in school, you know, when music and art are part of the school's program, you know, regularly scheduled classes, you know, they see improvements in everything from their test scores, you know, in math and science and English. They see increased attendance, you know, when there's like an arts program where the kids are really enthused to be involved in that, they,
oh, wow,
more kids will, you know, stop calling out of school and then actually show up because they feel like there's something there that they're really enjoying. On top of that, there's like a lot of soft skills that kids pick up everything from, you know, perseverance, discipline. You know, you're learning to play an instrument, and, you know, guess what? The first time you put that sheet music up there and you're trying it out, you're like, you know what? This doesn't work out so well.
Sure.
But they learn that, you know, they practice it, you know, practice 30 minutes a day, 4 or 5 days a week, and after a couple of weeks, you know what? They actually start to sound really good.
Uh-huh.
And they get that feedback, that internal feedback to themselves that builds confidence that, yes, when they, you know, spend time on something, they can see improvement. It improves their social skills if they're playing as part of any type of band or ensemble. You know, they're learning how to play as part of a team, you know, not mm-hmm. unlike a sports team where it's not just, you know, about yourself. You're learning how to play together and get cues from each other. And you build up so many friendships. You know, I know our own daughter really didn't experience many friendships, you know, all through the middle school years. But in high school, she joined the marching band, and it was like, you know, she had an instant group of friends
uh-huh.
that lasted her all through school that was incredibly valuable.
Yeah. It's interesting because I was involved in drama in school, and I was in chorus too, but that artistic avenue, there's a different kind of camaraderie than you get, say, in math class. Seriously, I mean, I was a math major in college, you know, went into theoretical statistics in grad school, so I've got that science background, but that there's something about the arts where you're coming together as a team to create something that it creates a different kind of connection.
Yes, you're doing something creatively that's fun.
Yes.
And the thing about music is what we do know is music is one of the few activities we do as humans that actually uses both sides of our brain, you know, the left, the logical side on the left and the creative side on the right.
Oh, right.
When kids start learning to play an instrument, you know, early in their developmental years, they're actually building additional neuron connections that they would not have otherwise, and they retain those, you know, throughout their other schooling years, whether it's high school and college and into adulthood, and that enables them to be a lot more creative in whatever career they're going into, which is why so many doctors, you know, scientists, inventors, entrepreneurs, you know, they credit part of their success to the music and arts, you know, education they had as a child.
Yeah. You know, Vincent, I got chills when you're talking about, you know, creating those connections between the two sides of the brains, because in terms of our, you know, creativity, yeah, the right side of the brain, it's simplification, but the right side of the brain relates to creativity, but it also relates to our intuitive connection. And
yeah.
I think that when we can be more connected and put it into the rational, external life that we're living as well, then we become what I consider to be more spiritually deliberate. We are more connected with others, more connected to the soul, if you will, and it's really important. So the fact that early music training can create that is incredibly significant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When I first learned that, you know, I was like, wow, that explains a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so
those are some of the, you know, the, you know, children and music education. And now as adults, you know, we experience many benefits as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything from keeping our brains healthier as we get older, happier. I mean, when we play music and often when we listen to music, you know, there's a chemical in our brain that gets released in increased quantities called dopamine.
Uh-huh.
And this is like the feel-good chemical,
right?
You know, that you get, you know, as a runner, you know, they call it the runner's high, where the levels increase and you actually feel happier, and you don't know why, but it's it's the music. It strengthens your heart. You know, they've used music to help patients that are suffering from heart disease improve their vascular health and speed up their recovery. Yes, because music also increases another chemical called endorphins that actually create that change. And then even beyond that, you know, they use music to help boost immune systems and reduce pain. You know, if you're suffering from pain after an operation, they've learned that music can help reduce the level of pain that you're feeling. And
mm-hmm.
the scientific basis for that is music reducing another level, another hormone called cortisol.
Right.
You know, in your body. And so, you know, music is having a huge effect on the, you know, physiological aspects of our bodies. That we had no idea, you know, 50, 100 years ago.
Yeah. You know, this is fascinating, Vincent. I'm curious, though, is there a particular type of music, say, to boost the immune system or to reduce pain?
Well, I think it really comes down to a personal choice. I mean, music that generally you feel a positive reaction to is what's going to give you that effect. I think, you know, as a general statement, you know, uplifting music, positive music. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess, you know, and I don't really know this for sure, but, you know, if you're a big heavy metal fan and that's what you, you know, you really get off on listening to, you know, what we call, you know, screaming vocals, you know, loud guitars, and that's what really does it for you. I don't know that that will have the same effect even on you, but if that's what your favorite music is, probably need some more individualized studies, you know, where, you know, they compare, you know, more controls on the different types of music and the different patients and what their favorite type of music is. But it generally goes along with what your favorite music is.
Interesting. So I know that there's been, I believe that there have been some studies looking at the music effect, the musical effect on plants. And I think that type of music is important, but of course plants are different than humans. And I know we humans have our individual preferences. That would be a very interesting question to answer about whether, you know, whether classical is better than punk rock, you know, kind of thing.
Right, right. And I know they have done studies with cats and dogs, you know, where they, and I don't remember, unfortunately, the specific details, where, you know, they have found out that cats tend to generally like, you know, certain type of music over others, and dogs tend to like a certain type of music different from cats.
Interesting.
And, you know, plants would probably, you know, have their own vibrational, you know, it has to do with the vibrations that we all, all the particles in our body are undergoing.
Right.
And when you, music resonates at the same vibrational frequency that our body particles are vibrating, I think that's where you get the benefit.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense because, you know, we are vibrational beings and, you know, scientists have discovered that we have light emanating beyond the edges of our body. And same thing is true of animals and plants, all living things.
Yeah,
and
or, right.
Yeah, so, and, you know, in science they call it biofields, some will call it energy fields, but yes, indeed, it's the auras of, you know, that have been talked about for thousands of years, and I imagine that music affects those, which in turn affects us.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the interesting things about healing, there's some scientific evidence that the biochemical process of healing begins beyond the edges of our body, interestingly enough. Somehow there's some communication beyond the edge of the body, and then it triggers the biochemical reaction and the healing process within the physical body. So I think about, you know, music affecting our vibrational field and in turn affecting our health and well-being. That makes perfect sense.
No, it certainly does, and I spent a lot more learning for myself to go, you know, to really totally, well, I'll never totally... Well, never totally know everything about it, but, you know, I love learning more and being able to share more information about how and the why, you know, music and other things can really, you know, improve our bodies.
And, you know, that I think it's great that there's science, but in your book, you focus on personal stories, and stories shift our perceptions of reality. It affects us more deeply, I think, oftentimes than the science itself. Can you know, in the next 3 minutes or so, share a story of how somebody was personally affected in a big way by music?
Sure, sure. One particular story came from a shaman named Miguel, whose mother was suffering, you know, severe Alzheimer's. And, you know, she had been placed, you know, in a home because she really needed 24-hour care, you know, the position she was in.
Uh-huh.
And typically her head would be down, you know, in a catatonic state, not responsive to anything, you know, but he would still come and spend time with her, you know, on a regular basis. And one day he took her out for a drive while he was running errands.
Uh-huh.
And just without even thinking about it, he started singing to himself an old Latin song that his mother had sung to him as a child.
Right.
And so he's singing, and then all of a sudden his mother in the passenger side lights up, starts singing along with him.
Wow.
You know, word for word, melody for melody, and he practically crashes the car in disbelief. What the heck? And, you know, he pulls over and just, you know, they continue singing. They're singing the song together, and he just, you know, he just couldn't believe. For him, that was a life-changing moment, you know, where he really saw firsthand the miracle of music,
right,
of what it can do, and bringing his mother back to him just for that, you know, short instant, and how much that meant to him, and seeing how much it appeared to mean to her in that moment. Because when, you know, when the song is over, I see this in nursing homes when I played music, you know, they'll be up and singing, you know, singing with you, but as soon as you stop, they kind of just go back.
Interesting. So it awakens something, even in the catatonic brain of, you know, somebody with advanced Alzheimer's.
Yes.
That's really fascinating. We're going to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Vincent James.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm enjoying my conversation today with Vincent James. We are talking about the benefits of playing and listening to music. And Vincent, I know that you've got a lot of stories. They're really, some of them are profoundly inspirational in your book, 88 Ways, let's see, that Music Can Change Your Life. And I know that you've got some celebrity stories. Can you share one of those?
Oh, sure, absolutely. So one of our favorite stories, in fact, it was one of the first stories we received, came from a gentleman named Simon Kirk. And Simon is the drummer, actually, in the band called Bad Company.
Uh-huh.
Many hits back in the 70s.
I know. Oh, yeah, I remember them well.
Can't get enough of your love. So many great songs.
Yeah.
And he was also in the band with that same lead singer called Free. They had the huge hit that's still played today on classic radio, classic rock radio, called All Right Now.
Oh, I didn't realize
all
that. Okay.
All right, yeah. Now, baby, it's all right now. So Simon has a long history in the music industry, and he, along with playing music, he also has done a lot of different tutorials and drum clinics over the years.
Uh-huh.
And he tells us a story how he was doing this drum clinic over in the UK several years back, and he's up on stage, and the auditorium is dark, so he can't see out there. And as he's up on the stage with his drum set and different accessories, he's demonstrating different drums and different techniques. He starts hearing this clicking sound coming from somewhere in the auditorium.
Uh-huh.
And, being a drummer, that can be a little unnerving when you're trying to do percussive things and there's this other percussive thing going on somewhere around you. And he was, but he's a professional. He's just like, I don't know what it is. I can't change it, so I'm just going to continue on. And, he keeps pulling out different drums, different cymbals, different percussion instruments and demonstrating them, and it just off and on, it just keeps happening. He keeps hearing this click, 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 click sound going on. And after a while, he's actually starting to get a little bit, ticked off, like, who's making these sounds when I'm up here trying to do this?
Right.
But, he doesn't say anything on stage. He just keeps on, keeps his professional air on. And finally, at the very end, he finishes up, and for the very first time, the house lights go up in the auditorium. And now he can finally see the whole auditorium. And there along the back row, what he sees is a row of wheelchairs.
Uh-huh.
And there are children in the wheelchairs, and they're holding drumsticks. Children with muscular dystrophy that all along have been holding drumsticks, and they've been playing with him the entire time.
Oh, my goodness.
And he just, couldn't, his heart just jumped out of his mouth. He just couldn't believe it. His heart melted. He jumped off the stage. He went to the back of the auditorium, and he knelt down and, shook each one of their hands and said, thank you. Thank you so much for playing with me today. That really meant a lot to me.
Oh, that's great.
First several times we read that story, I literally went to tears.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, gosh. That's
so
good.
You never really know what's truly going on, And then on top of that, to see what music was meaning to these children and how they were able to participate with him and play and what it meant to them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just amazing.
That's so great. It's it just reminded me of how every year I go to the Northwest Boys Choir and Vocal Point. It's where they do it's lessons and carols, and they're an amazing choir. And but they also, like every other or every two or three songs, the audience participates as well. And it doesn't sound nearly as good, but it's really fulfilling to have that aspect of it too.
So, oh, absolutely.
So why is it those of us who aren't very good at, say, singing or playing piano or guitar, whatever it might be, who have never done music before, why is it important that we sort of step beyond that fear or, uneasiness about it and actually do it?
Well, I think that's such an important, point that you bring up, Christine. I mean, we all, how many times have you heard someone say, oh, I can't sing, mm-hmm. I can't sing? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a bunch of, baloney. We can all sing. It's whether we choose to or not. And how many of us who say that we can't sing, will sing, in the shower,
right.
In the car, radio, when no one else is listening. It brings up your energy. I mean, when you are singing, when you are participating or you're playing another instrument, and especially if you're doing it in a group and you're feeling the energy of the music and voices all around you, I don't know that there's another feeling that really compares with that. When you're in, like you said, you're with the chorus, and maybe it doesn't sound as good when everyone else is singing with them. But I tell you what, I bet you the energy feels a lot better.
Yeah, it does. And it's a nice balance between the two. And to be able to sing some of the traditional hymns, I was raised in the Christian church, and that was an important part of Christmas for me. And my mother was always involved in the choir and that sort of thing.
Well,
so it really does mean something to me to sing the song. And even though I always feel like I'm not sure which octave to sing it in, because it's just, it's not geared towards my voice. It's like I tend to sing a little lower than what most women do. But it was very fulfilling, and it it also brought back memories of my childhood. And so that that's the connection, that musical connection I have to my childhood and growing up and what it means to me. And I think that if I don't listen to that music during the Christmas season, then it's far less meaningful to me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we like to say that music is a magical time machine that brings us back. You know, when you first met someone, your first aunt, your wedding, those experiences in church growing up. I mean, I totally relate to your experience, Christine, because, you know, all through church growing up, you know, people were singing a lot more then.
Yes.
You had the whole, you know, church singing, you know, Christmas time, Easter time in particular, and the voices around. And I will tell you now, when I, you know, whenever I hear those songs, especially sung by a group, you know, or if I'm in a church or a situation where we're singing one of those, you know, really special songs, I'll call special songs, from, you know, Christmas time, I literally, I'm singing along and I'm trying not to cry. When I'm doing it, because it just means, I'm tearing up now. It just means so very much to me. And, you know, you can't explain it, but just the feeling is extremely powerful.
It is. It is. And it is interesting the way music connects us to our past. And I thought, oh gosh, I was shopping somewhere. I was shopping at a bead store. I was doing some mosaics work. I needed some beads. And they were playing what I consider to be great music. It was music from the 70s. And I thought, this is so wonderful. And I realized it was at a stage of my life where I was sort of really getting into music, and it connected me to a part of myself that I had sort of, I don't know, not paid attention to for a long, long time.
Right,
you know, that part of me that felt hopeful, curious, and it's not that I don't feel hopeful and curious now, but there was a different kind of energy to it when I was 12.
Natural then, and they do. They have done, you know, surveys where the music that people tend to latch onto is the music that we, you know, first experience, you know, in our teenage years and young adult, you know, like 15 to 22.
Right.
That's the music that stays with us, you know, for the rest of our lives. And we may listen to other stuff, but when we put on that music from that time of our youth, our younger years, it just really does something special, you know, to our minds, our brains, our souls, and really connects us back to that time, you know, where, like, you know, it was a different time in our life. You know, we didn't have, we were looking all ahead. We weren't looking back at all.
We're all looking
ahead.
You're right. So, okay, so we know that there are some benefits to music. How do we go about utilizing that in a way that helps us with our immune system, helps us with our happiness, you know, whatever?
Well, there are a number of ways that, you know, we can all utilize music to, you know, improve our health, improve our lives, improve our happiness, and also of those of, you know, some of our family members. The very first one I'll give out is, you know, start learning to play an instrument. You know, if you've ever thought about it, even if you haven't thought about it, I can't count the number of times someone has come up to me and said, you know, I always wish I had learned to play the piano or the guitar. I'm like, you can't, it's never too late. My one guitar student, he came to me when he was 80 years old and asked me if I would teach him to play the guitar.
Wow, 80.
4 years later, he's still taking guitar lessons every week, except when he disappears for 2 months into Florida when it's really cold. But, yes, and, you know, was it more difficult for him starting? Absolutely. It took a while to build up those calluses on the fingers to play the guitar.
Sure.
But the benefits that he's receiving, you know, both, you know, his soul, his spirit, his happiness, and, you know, helping his, you know, brain activity. Even his wife has commented that, you know, she really feels like it's helping him, which is why he keeps coming.
That's great.
Week
that's
after
great.
Week and learning songs. So, I mean, that's one, you know, off the top, and we can talk about others in a little bit.
Yeah.
But absolutely, you know, don't, you know, you can pick up a guitar, a ukulele, an inexpensive keyboard, $50 to $100 to get started. And whether you see a private teacher, go to a local music school, or start with just YouTube tutorials, you know.
It's a different world now with YouTube, isn't it?
Yes, you can learn how to play almost any instrument under the sun. I mean, they didn't have that when I was a kid.
No, me neither, me neither. We're going to go to another quick break, but when we return, more ways to benefit from music. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear. Fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Vincent, before we go any further, I want to make sure before our hour runs out that you can share with our listeners how they can connect with you and how they can support your really important events.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Christine. Well, the best ways to connect with us for the nonprofit Keep Music Alive would be through keepmusicalive.org. And from there, you can jump off to Teach Music Week, which happens in March, and Kids Music Day in October. And you can get involved in any one of those, you know, holidays, either through a music school that you're involved in or a music activity you do already, or perhaps volunteer at, you know, another location that's doing something for those holidays.
So how do these events work?
So how it works is we, music schools and music retailers and other music organizations for Teach Music Week, what they do is they offer a free lesson to new students, to kids or adults, whatever their normal demographic is. And the idea is to try to get them started on, you know, interested in playing an instrument.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we not only encourage that for these, you know, the stores and the music schools, but individual musicians, you know, like myself and yourself, anyone who, you know, knows someone who plays an instrument, you know, to reach out to them and say, hey, you know, I'd really like to start learning how to play the piano or the ukulele. Can you sit with me for 30 minutes and, you know, get me started?
So
I created that week through Keep Music Alive as a way to just encourage more people, kids and adults, to start playing music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great. This is fabulous. And so,
so for the book series, that is a different website. That would be 88waysmusic.com. And we're actually looking for stories for the next book coming out in August. So if you or any of your listeners have an inspirational music story they would like to share, you know, they can reach out to us through 88waysmusic.com to submit the story.
Okay, so it's keepmusicalive.org for the nonprofit and 88waysmusic.com.
Yes.
For the book series.
And of course, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble online, Books a Million as well.
Yep.
This is the first book.
And there are a lot of great stories in that book. Do you have another story you'd like to share?
Yes. Let me see. This is kind of a little interesting, short little anecdote. So many of us are familiar with, at least in my age bracket, with Harry Chapin. You know, some of his hits were Taxi and Cats in the Cradle, the two that he's most known for. And he was up for the Best New Artist and of the Year for the Grammys back, and it was in 1972. So he was heading to the Grammys. And the story that is told to us, obviously, Harry has passed on, was told to us by his drummer from that time, Howard Fields, who was his drummer, Harry Chapin's drummer, through all those years that, you know, Harry was playing. And Howard Fields, the drummer, tells a story how, you know, Harry was going to the Grammys, and he was carrying his guitar, you know, with him. You know, he gets out of the car, and he's walking up to the building, he's carrying his, you know, his prize guitar. You know, he plays at all his shows.
Right.
Everywhere he goes, and he gets to the door of the building, and there's a, like an usher there at the door, a young kid, probably no more than 21 years old, and is opening the door for them, and you know, say, Harry, let me get that guitar for you, let me help you. And just through some physical mishap, the guitar ends up on the ground, and the guy's foot into the guitar, and that's the end of the guitar at that moment.
Oh, my goodness.
And Harry's supposed to play on the show.
Oh, no.
You know, as part of the awards. And, you know, any number of artists, you know, although, you know, we can be fun, creative people, we can also sometimes be, you know, reactive, you know, maybe more prone to drama. And Harry was like, you know, the guy was like mortified. He just wanted to crawl into a hole and die. But Harry was like, you know, it's all right. It's all, no worries. You know, it's cool, bro. We're good. You know, it could happen to anyone. And just, you know, nonchalantly continued on in. And just totally let it go. And to Howard Fields, who was there as part of it, I believe, you know, that was just an amazing example, you know, one of the many examples he saw in Harry Chapin, how he was such a nice, genuine person. And it's a shame that we lost him so young.
So did he find another guitar to use to perform?
You know, I didn't get the rest of that story. I don't know. I imagine he borrowed a guitar.
Yeah, I mean,
guitars
so
are fairly interchangeable, but, you know, when we have our own personal instrument, whatever it is that we're used to playing, that's a funny little thing, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's like a pair of socks. You don't really loan them out. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's exactly, Benny. But the funny thing is there's a local songwriter, performer that I perform with many times. In fact, I put one of his songs on my own CD. His name is Lee Goldstein. And Lee will tell the story, you know, he gets up on stage to play in an open mic or a show that we're doing. And, you know, it's a different keyboard than the one that he's used to playing. And, you know, he's just very deadpan humor. He's like, you know, playing on someone else's keyboard up here, it's like kind of wearing someone else's underwear. It just doesn't feel right.
Oh, totally deadpan.
Oh, boy.
And we just, you know, we all roll over like, I can't believe you just said that, Lee. It's just, you know, goes back to the time we were in a mall doing an event, you know, and this is in the early days of, you know, streaming. I think it's even before streaming, you know, we had just CDs. And he was like, well, I hope somebody steals my CD. Just a minute. You know, that means they like my music that much to take it.
Right.
Please.
Yes. Okay, so, you know, if we want to encourage our children or grandchildren to play music, how best can we support them in it?
I think the best way is to, you know, try to get them involved and first take them out to music performances, you know, whether it's local community events or, you know, concerts. If like, there's a band that was like your favorite band, you know, growing up, sometimes you can take them out to a concert, you know, that was your favorite and let them experience that firsthand. And it gets them really excited about it. Take them out to music performances by some of the local rock music schools and rock schools. And offer them, you know, come sit into an instrument petting zoo where you can try different instruments.
What?
Instrument petting zoo. That's one of the many types of events that locations do for Kids Music Day. It's basically where you go in and you can try different instruments with someone at each station to help, you know, demonstrate for you and get you started.
That sounds great. And what a crazy name.
Yeah. And it's funny that I only heard of that name only about 3 or 4 years ago. It was totally new to me, and I had the same reaction you had when I heard it. I'm like, what? That's so awesome. So, but, you know, getting them involved and trying it. You know, sometimes they'll try the drums for, like, a little bit. You know what? That's really cool, but not really me.
Right.
Let me go try the guitar or the keyboard or even a ukulele. Just experiencing with it can really help. And another thing I recommend is your children. Our children are all listening to different music. Sometimes it's similar to what, you know, sometimes we get them hooked on our music. Sometimes they have their own music.
Sure.
But try to experience listening to what they're listening to and connect with them, talk to them about the artists and songs they like.
Uh-huh.
It's just another way that as parents where we can connect with our children and understand what is it, you know, what makes them tick, what makes them feel good.
Right.
And maybe go, you know, buy concert tickets to some of their favorite artists and go out, you know, to the concerts with them and, you know, experience that together. And we'll probably relive some of our own childhood, even though the music is, you know, 30 years forward.
Sure,
what
sure.
We listen to.
And I know that back in the day when you and I were kids, when we played music, our parents heard it. But these days, the kids are, you know, got the earbuds in or the headphones on. And,
So
it's a mystery.
Right. We have to make a concerted effort to, you know, remove the veil,
uh-huh,
take
uh-huh
off the headphones, just put it on. There's this thing called speakers. You may have heard of them. I'm not sure, you know. And, you know, let's listen to it. Because you know what? When you feel the energy in the room, it's a different thing than when you have it on your headphones and your earbuds. You know, you feel the vibration.
Right.
You feel the bass in your chest and like, wow.
Yes. And in fact, I think it's fascinating that there are some deaf people who, when they hear the music come through speakers, can dance.
They can absolutely feel it and move to it. You know, there are deaf DJs, which amazes me.
Wow.
How they do it, but you're absolutely right, because they feel the music. They can sign to the music because they can feel how it's going.
Wasn't it one of the DJs like Pete Tong, I believe?
I believe so.
Yeah, there's a documentary done on him, too. He feels like the bass and the beat through the floor.
Uh-huh.
And so he can still mix music to this day and makes some
mixes it,
too. Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing story on him. Pete Tong, by the way. Yeah.
That's fascinating. You know, Vincent, this hour has flown by. I'm so grateful you've joined us here today. And I want to mention your websites again. Keepmusicalive.org and 88waysmusic.com. Do you have like a 15-second final message?
Sure. I just recommend everyone, you know, try to listen to more music, participate in music, and try to experiment with different styles of music and see what really can, you know, mean the most to you and your family. And quiet is nice sometimes, but music can definitely lift your energy.
Fabulous. Thank you, Vincent, and thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.